Then there are wolves. The wolves will feed on the sheep. They're the sociopaths. They're the criminals. He says, and then there are sheepdogs. The sheep are a little leery of the sheepdog. He wanders around, checks the perimeter every night, and barks at the moon. He would never turn his teeth on the flock, but he yearns for a righteous battle. And when the wolf comes around, nothing else will do, and the entire flock is sitting there trying to hide behind one lonely sheepdog as he faces down the wolves. We're talking about a creature who is capable of confronting and dealing with combat and sustaining themselves across the long haul. The goal becomes to be a sheepdog, to be the warrior, to be the one that is ready to respond to the threats when the time arises.
This is Blue Justice, and I'm your host today, Amanda, and Tammy, our co-host, is here. David is not going to be here today, so we get to run this thing. Yippee-ki-yay. And I'm sitting here listening, Tammy, and I realize we probably need to get another intro. I think it's kind of, does it sound really bad at the beginning?
Sirens and the... Am I muted?
It sounds like it cuts out. No, you're there. It sounds like it cuts out or something to me. Does it sound that way to you?
Well, it's a little bit muffled to me. I can't quite understand what they're saying.
Okay, yeah, I think so. I think we need to find a better quality of that. And it cuts off so abruptly. It's like, is it time to talk yet? David Shalis is on the line, too. So, good morning, David.
Good morning.
Hey, David.
Good morning, guys.
So, I guess we're going to kick this thing off. Everybody knows I really don't like running these by myself, so this is fun. Tammy had a good idea for a topic, though. Last week was a pretty bad week for law enforcement. February has been a really bad month for law enforcement. What is the number of deaths by gunfire?
We're to 8 total.
8 by gunfire. I saw an update this morning. The officer in Clarksdale that was shot over the weekend. So we had 3 more officers shot on Saturday. We had 2 in Baton Rouge, I think early Saturday morning, and 1 in Clarksdale Saturday night, I think is when that happened. And those didn't get a lot of, we posted them in the group, but they didn't get a lot of, I don't think a lot of people saw them. But the one in Clarksdale, I saw an update on him this morning. He was shot in the face. And mascots, yeah. But so he was, the update that I saw this morning was from a news source, and it said that the bullet entered through his eye. And the bullet is lodged in his brain. He's still in critical condition. I don't know what the outlook is on that. I've never heard of anybody being through that kind of situation. So I don't know, but I know it does not look good. Can you guys talk for a second so I can deal with mascot here?
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't
care
about that.
The survival rate, gunshot wound like that is, not to say it's impossible, but, you know, it doesn't look promising, but it has been done. I mean, obviously, he's a strong officer, and, you know, he's surviving right now, and that's a good thing. Anything's possible, you know, and I wish...
That is something I said in to the admins, that anybody that survives a gunshot wound to the head or to the face, they've got to have an angel watching over them, because it's just unbelievable that anybody would survive that. To me, it's just the traumatic injury. I'm sorry.
With him surviving a wound of this type, You have to think, too, that his quality of life is going to dramatically change. Things that he has done on a day-to-day basis will no longer be that. He will not be in uniform any longer. I mean, unless, you know, by the grace of God, there's a miraculous miracle that gives him the ability to, but unfortunately, his career at this point will probably be ended, which is unfortunate.
That brings up something I do want to talk about, and to me, it is the forgotten officers and the officers that do survive incidences like this, that do survive on duty problems that do change their life dramatically. Those are, to me, the forgotten officers too. People, if the officer lives, their life is completely changed forever. We have several. I mean, David himself was actually injured on the job and retired. And then we have Dennis, who has given his story numerous times, who had, I think he was hit by a semi, and he was forced to retire by that accident, and it was, I believe it was on duty as well. Those officers, people forget, their lives are changed forever.
And
they're not allowed to, they're not able to wear the uniform anymore, but the warrior spirit is still in them. I see so many of those in our group. Go ahead, David.
Not only that, you know, the most upsetting thing is they're survivors of their injuries, but they no longer can fulfill the job obligation any longer. But they just become a statistic at that point, and they're forgotten. They're pushed along to the side, and, you know, whatever care they get, oh, well, that's what they get. You know, they're no longer looked upon in the community. They're forgotten. And like you said, yeah, they are forgotten. They become just a numeric statistic at that point, and that's a shame.
We just in our local area, lost one a few months ago that had suffered a head trauma, right, David?
Yes.
He had suffered a head trauma and was retired because of that, I believe his head trauma was actually from a beating. Is that right?
Yeah, he took a good stomping.
Yeah, and he was forced to retire, and he had, as a result of that, he had lifelong head problems. What was the disease they gave him because of that?
I can't recall at the moment, but you know that brings up an issue. You know, you've got these officers that are getting hurt out there, shot, beat, whatever the case may be. But if you look at these numbers and you take into account which departments, because not all departments do it the same way in their policing. A lot of cities and states require two-man cars, but anymore, the style of policing is a one-man car, and your backup is on the way. Means that you're out there until your backup arrives, and that could be they could be 10 miles away, they could be a mile away. I mean, whatever the case may be. I don't, in my view, that style of policing, single-man cars, it's just not sensible. I mean, you're jeopardizing lives by making it a single-man car. And are you asking the officer to respond to a life-and-death situation as a single person? Now, he can't sit idly by and let something happen, but yet he has to wait for his backup to arrive. And if he interacts and intervenes in the situation, because naturally he can't let somebody become maimed, killed, whatnot, he has to act. But the minute he acts, they'll say, well, you did it on your own. You didn't wait for your backup. You know, they hold a double standard there, which is wrong. Single-man cars, all these municipalities that are out there, all that is a smokescreen to make it look like you have more police officers on the streets, when in essence you really don't. You've cut back your police department so much because either one, your tax dollars aren't there to pay for salaries, whatever excuse you want to use, what kind of smoke and mirror, you know, situation you want to utilize. But the bottom line is you've just jeopardized every single one of those police officers by putting them in a single-man car. Now, I'm not saying it can't happen to a team of guys. Yeah, I mean, it happened in New York, and those two guys were executed. But the chances, I'm telling you, the chances of survival and getting away and going home at night are greater if you've got a partner. You have somebody to rely on, has your back. Situations can be stopped immediately with better results. I mean, I could go on.
So you have you also have a greater chance of the perpetrator being caught. I saw a story yesterday that several pages shared at yesterday, and I don't know why it popped back up. Maybe because they finally caught the suspect, but it said I thought it was a new story and actually shared it for a second and took it down because I realized it was from January of this year. But it said an officer had been the police department received a call that a man had left his house with weapons looking to kill a cop. And then they found an officer dead out by a warehouse somewhere. His duty belt was gone. His car was gone. If he had had a partner, if he hadn't have gone to that call alone or wherever he, you know, whatever that was, the situation, it didn't describe how the officer ended up in the location that he did. But if he had had someone with him, they didn't catch this guy for a while. But the odds, I think, number one, I could be wrong, and there probably are really no stats on this, but the odds of that man pulling a gun on two officers who are alert at the time, seeing what's going on, or, you know, thinking someone's suspicious, and he's got two sets of eyes on him, the odds of him actually pulling that trigger or pulling a gun are lower, I think. That's my opinion.
Correct assumption. I mean, if you as a suspect are sitting there facing, you know, a couple uniforms in front of you, you're less likely to engage. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody. I mean, we've got some got some big fucking nut jobs out there, but, you know, and they want to tackle on the world. But 9 out of 10 people, you know, when it comes to arrests, will be compliant, but it's that one individual that is willing to take on the world. And if you've got two uniforms in front of you, the likelihood of that happening, the odds start turning in the officer's favor because it can be a better controlled situation.
I would definitely think so. And if by, you know, by some reason that the perpetrator is able to do harm to one officer, you have a second able-bodied officer who, you know, in any situation, I'm not just talking about shooting a gun, you have an able-bodied officer who has not been injured yet, who is more than likely able to jump in and subdue the perp before he gets away and is found days later or whatever.
Find out that the use of deadly force will diminish because you have two physical bodies there that can do greater things. Now, I'm not saying, you know, do away with deadly force. Hey, if it's necessary, it's necessary.
Right, absolutely.
You can do whatever you can do.
Right, but if you've got someone who's like who's just fist fighting with an officer, having a second officer there, he's not going to have to use the deadly force. Where if you've got one officer, and this is just my assumption, but one officer wrestling with a man, and that man is reaching for the officer's gun, the second if there is a second officer there, he can just physically pull the man off rather than have to resort to that deadly force.
Right.
So that makes perfect sense.
Exactly. So, you know, to sit there and use, you know, these municipalities using the, you know, saying, well, we've got a lot of police presence on the street. No, you really don't. All you're doing is putting more vehicles on the street because you spread your officers out because you don't want to put them in two-man cars. Well, a lot of cities are starting to realize that that's not the way to, you know, to have good policing. Two sets of eyes are better than one. You know, while one guy's looking one direction, you've got your other guy that's sitting riding shotgun. His head's constantly on the move, looking in every direction to see every possible thing going on. Okay, the driver is exactly the driver of that vehicle. You know, his scope of noticing things are limited because he's got to focus on the road. You've got another set of eyes there that are free to roam and catch more. Yeah, arrests would increase and incarcerations would increase and, you know, housing prisoners would increase. Yeah, it's the nature of the beast. Well, welcome to reality. You know, if people knew how to, you know, behave themselves in the first goddamn place, we probably wouldn't have this problem. There wouldn't be any need for Men in Blue. But unfortunately, you know, we are a necessary evil, so get over it and deal with it, but do it the right way. Don't put people in the line of fire on purpose.
Right. Right. Don't endanger our officers. They're in danger as it is. Their job is dangerous as it stands. I want to talk. Tammy had a good she shared a good article the other day, a topic that we do need to discuss, and it is officer safety outside of the job. Tammy, you want to summarize your story for us of what happened?
Well, it's a pretty short article. This was in Klamath Falls, Oregon, where there was an officer's home shot up. His home and vehicle about 10:30 at night had been shot up, and they do believe that this was a crime committed against a law enforcement officer, not a random act. Nobody was injured, but it was an attempted, you know, attack on an officer at their own home. You know, this is something that it's not just a threat to law enforcement on the job. You know, you don't have to, well, I mean, you still have to be concerned when you go home as an officer that you are still going to have people come after you just because of your job. You know, realistically, everybody should be concerned about this anyway, but it's because of the rate lately with how many people have been attacked and killed. And you've got that list, Amanda, in that pending comment of all the attacks and people that have been killed, especially since the Super Bowl. You mentioned there were 8 shootings.
Totally.
There were eight killings this year so far. There were several more officers that died last week as well. Through different, one officer was killed in a helicopter crash. He was providing cover for an ongoing situation. He was on duty, and it was a civilian pilot, and that plane crashed. That officer was killed last week as well, on duty. You know, it was a line of duty death. So it's 8. The article I shared yesterday says that 8 officers have been shot and killed this year from January 1st to February 12th. And last year, in the same exact time frame, 1 officer had been shot and killed. So we've seen an increase 8-fold this year first few weeks.
But let's also remember, we've had 4 additional canine assaults as well on top of that since that as well. Where those canine assaults, 3 of those were from knife wounds, and one of them was in a choking situation. And that choking situation actually happened here in Oklahoma in Owosso.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. They actually, and is that guy going to get charged with assault on an officer? Do you know, David?
Yes, he is. He's being charged with aggravated assault and various other charges stemming back. I mean, the guy had a history of DUIs and he's just a menace to society, basically. But the officers, everybody went home that night, including the canine. Did the canine suffer any injuries from the choking? Briefly. But the dog still managed to do his job because with the dog jumping into the vehicle, it occupied the suspect enough that officers were able to get a hold of him quickly. So, yes, did the job perform his duties? Absolutely, and valiantly. But the dog did sustain, you know, some throat injury, but he'll survive and recuperate from it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I want to talk about, I posted this on my Facebook. I don't know who knows the actual story from Maryland. And it was on February 10th. In Maryland, a deputy, his name was, I believe it was Mark Logston, I think was he. No, Patrick Daly might have been the older gentleman. The first officer that was shot in Maryland, he walked into a restaurant And there was a 15-year-old eyewitness who said that she had walked in with her mother into this restaurant, and this guy looked like he gave him a bad vibe, basically. So they almost sat by this guy, and they moved. They were like, no, something doesn't feel right. So they switched tables and sat somewhere else. And officers were called to the scene because the guy's behavior or something, he was drawing attention. And they knew this man. Supposedly knew this man, knew of him. He had previous assaults on officer charges. He was obviously not a good character. And the officer, the deputy, this just shakes me to the core. He did what most good officers do, and this bothers me.
I know which story you're speaking of. And he went up and engaged the individual.
He sat down beside the man and said, hey, what's going on? And was shot in the head.
He became the victim of, it says it all in the article. I mean, he succumbed to injuries that should never have happened. This situation should never have happened.
Yes.
It goes to the safety issue. You don't approach somebody, regardless if you know them or not. Just because you know them doesn't make them friendly. Or you think that you might be able to talk them out of a situation. You don't know what state of mind that individual's in at any given time.
Tammy, what were you going to say?
I was just going to point out in that pending post, we have had 33 officers on this list starting on January 7th who have been stabbed, attacked, shot, all since January 7th, 33 officers.
And what week are we in? 6 weeks in the year? Or is that where we're at? 6 weeks in the year? So divide that up. That's an average of over five attacks a week.
Prevalent now.
And a lot of those are recovering. Some are recovering still, but 33.
But a third of them.
33.
Almost a third of them have died.
And this is as of February 13th. So, is there been any new?
As far as I know, since the 13th, no. As far as I know, not since the 13th.
No, I want to mention back to Tammy's topic about officer safety. One thing that, a lot of police officers, whether they realize it or not, a lot of municipalities allow officers to take marked units home. And park them in their driveway. Now, that is a clear does it quell a lot of stuff in the community? Yeah, probably does. It may make people a little bit they'll think it out before they act on breaking the law because they know there's a policeman that lives there because they see the marked unit. Because you as an officer, you're parking a marked unit in your driveway. You've just told the public, the criminal public, exactly where you live. And put it out
with
there.
I want to point out in officers, to me, that is, it speaks volumes to an officer's character, to his heart, his bravery. He understands that parking that marked unit in his home could potentially put himself, his family, his own life at risk. He has to sleep sometimes. They all have to sleep, and he lays his head down at night knowing that that car is out there and someone could do exactly what happened in Oregon. And it speaks volumes to what kind of person it takes to be an officer, what kind of bravery. I mean, it's to me, it's huge. It's a big deal.
Myself personally, I probably would never myself take a marked unit home. If it was an unmarked unit, that's one thing. But a marked unit, no, because of the fact that, like you said, am I putting myself in the line of fire? Probably. Am I putting my family in the line of fire? Absolutely. And I'm also endangering my neighbors, too. It's a big situation to think about. It does good for the community. It shows police presence, because let's face it, you put on you taking the job, you're a cop 24/7. Okay, it never stops. But when you're talking about safety, personally, for your community or in your immediate area, maybe it might not be such a good idea to take a marked unit home. Maybe leave it at the station, just jump in your own vehicle, bring it home, or take an unmarked unit if you need a radio car, take an unmarked unit. Just like, we were always taught too. Never take the same way home. I mean, I even stress that to people that I know. Even though we get into the habit of doing things repetitiously that we don't even realize that we're putting ourselves out there. People read what you do on your daily basis. They can actually get an idea of your lifestyle, what you do, just by following you, by your routines. Change your routine every day. Never take the same direction. Never, sometimes you might have to take a side street. Do it. I don't care if it takes you 5 more minutes out of your way. Change your direction of travel all the time. Never stay the same routes, because if you are, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Hey, I just saw something on this list that we're referencing, and I'll post it to the group here in just a little bit. Tammy, on January 28th, 2016, New Jersey City, New Jersey officer was dragged around by a stolen vehicle, a declaration of open season on cops. Can you research that for me really quick and find out what it is? I didn't hear that story, and I want to know what that means, the declaration of open season on cops. I know what it means, but I want to know why this is, if the person who drugged this officer around by a stolen vehicle, or I want this story, if you can pull it up for me really quick and see what's going on with that. David, back to the safety and the marked cars out in, let's be honest, an officer wearing a badge, especially in today's world, is actually putting himself and his family at risk. Speaking of another thing, something else I want to bring up, someone tried to post this to the group, and I need to research it before I can allow the post to go through, but there is a missing police officer. Let me pull this page up really quick.
I haven't heard anything about that one.
He was last seen 2/12/2016 leaving work. He never made it home. It's in near the Ohio River Terminal on 25th Street. He was last seen Friday where he worked. Oh, he was a security guard. But he's in uniform in these pictures. He's got a badge. It looks like he's a police officer. Which a security guard, and his uniform. I don't have the details on what happened. We just know that he was leaving work and he is missing. So again, officer safety, officer safety, officer safety. And wearing a badge, wearing a uniform is absolutely dangerous these days. And it's scary and it's sad. And I think David said it the other day best, but we all need to be armed. If you can legally arm yourself, you need to be armed. And if you see an officer in danger, help them. Don't interfere by any means. If an officer is not, if they have control of the situation, keep your ass back and don't do nothing stupid, especially if you're carrying a firearm. Because that officer is not going to know who you are. They're not going to know if you're a threat. They're not going to know if you plan on coming up and participating in this struggle that they're going through. But if you see an officer in need of help, help him. Trooper Vincent, go ahead.
The first thing a civilian ought to do, if they're going to intervene to help an officer, like you said, the officer doesn't know who you are. He doesn't know if you're going to be an additional aggressor or if you're there to assist. The best thing a civilian could do as he's approaching a situation like that is yell out, "I'm here to help. Can I help you?" And that officer will yell out at you. He'll tell you, "Hey, get your ass the hell over here," or whatever, however his mood is at the time. But he'll let you know whether to approach or not.
Right. Absolutely. And also something else that you absolutely need to do, if you see an officer who is unconscious or is struggling to the point that he cannot get to his radio, you need to call 911 immediately and let them know. I know that that takes a couple of extra seconds, but if dispatch has no idea that this stuff is going on, you're witnessing an attack on an officer who has no control of the situation, who's completely lost control of that situation, who's being injured, who's being hurt, and the aggressor is controlling the situation, you do need to notify dispatch too. You do. That's my opinion. I would definitely call 911 first thing and maybe be yelling at the officer at the same time, can I help you, you know, or I'm here to help you. Get away from the officer, something.
Even sometimes the shout out, if there's an aggressor that's overpowering the officer and the officer becomes incapacitated to the point he can't speak or whatever the situation, sometimes just shouting out, because a lot of times the aggressor doesn't know somebody's watching. And the minute
yes.
he sees there's other eyes on him, the aggression starts to subside or they flee.
Something else as a concealed carry advocate that we teach in class is that, and the best thing that you can use to your ability is distraction. Distraction. If you can distract that aggressor long enough,
exactly.
even just a split second, for that officer to regain control, that's all you need. And as a licensed weapon holder, you know, the same thing. You have to, at all times, keep your focus, because that's what aggressors will try to do. They will try to take your focus away, distract you for that split second to gain the control. If you can, like you said, shout out even and distract that aggressor for just long enough for the officer to flip things around and get things back under his own control, then you've done everything that you need to do and step your butt back and let him do his job.
Right. Actually, the biggest distraction you can ever give somebody when they're in that kind of situation, being very verbal, yelling, that is the biggest distraction, because people they're trying to focus on what they're doing, but yet they hear you. You're going to distract them verbally no matter what. You can stand there and jump up and down until you're blue in the face. That may not distract them, but they will always hear you. So the best thing you can do is continue to be verbal as loud as you can. In the meantime, you've got 911 on the phone. You're making them. The best thing you can do is be eyes and ears and take notes. Make as many mental notes. Now, if the officer involved is to the point where you know death might be imminent, I would probably physically get involved to prevent that from happening. Would I be jeopardizing my own safety, health, and welfare? Probably. But there's,
Absolutely. You know,
there's a chance that, you know, you're going to walk away from it, maybe with maybe a bump or a bruise or two, but you might save a life. I'm not asking people in civilian capacities to purposely go out there and do that by any means.
No,
don't,
right.
You know, there's no way to say it. I don't want civilians to be mourned as heroes, you know, because they're no longer with us because they were trying to help when they could have helped in a different way.
Right. By all means, especially if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't walk into something blind. If you don't have a clue how to help the situation, don't hinder it either. Don't hinder it. Do what you can. Use your head. Always use your head.
Lay on your horn. Just lay on the horn. Somebody's going to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And maybe
you might have
4 or 5 other people in vehicles that may stop. So now you've got strength in numbers.
Right. They teach my kids at school. They've actually started these active shooter drills in class, and they sent us a note home and explained the active shooter drills and what they're teaching these children to do. And they teach them to jump out windows and things like that, but they teach them distraction, noise. So back to that, what you were saying, you know, even just shouting, the noise will really get their attention. They're teaching our children to throw books. They're teaching our children to, and not at the shooter, but throw books just to cause a distraction so they can get away. That kind of stuff. Anything you can think to make noise is absolutely to draw their focus off from what they're doing in the moment. But yeah, let me reiterate what you said about do not get involved if you don't know what you're doing. Hinder the situation.
Get actively involved in helping our officers? Absolutely. They're doing a thankless job to begin with, and they need all the help they can get from their communities that they serve. We as taxpaying citizens here and, appreciation of law enforcement should understand that, get involved. Be an involved member of your community. Report everything that's not right to your local law enforcement. And if you see your law enforcement officers in trouble, in need of assistance, that doesn't mean you just sit idly by and just, oh, well, he's going to get his butt kicked. Well, that's not the way. I mean, how would you feel if that the officer rolled up and said, well, I'll just wait until he gets done getting his butt kicked, and then I'll just take a report. I mean,
right.
How would you feel being on the receiving end? Think of it that way. But like I said,
right.
I'm not asking people to willfully put themselves in a life and death situation. Don't do that. These officers, you've got to remember, have been trained. And if they're being overwhelmed by somebody else and they're trained, where do you think you're going to stand in all this? I mean, it's not going to fare for you very well. But there are other things that you can do to be proactive and be helpful and maybe stop the aggression. There are plenty of things to do. It's just use
Absolutely.
Your head. Think wise.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like you said, we don't want to mourn
a police
hero.
Officer will never turn down your help. He really won't. He will not turn down your help. If he knows that he could use an extra set of hands just to maybe, put a knee to the back of a suspect while he's cuffing him, and keeping him under control, yeah, he's going to ask for your help. And he's going to do it graciously. He's going to love it. He's going to appreciate you. And trust me, you'll have a friend for life, too.
But make sure that he knows you are not
a threat. It comes down to it's officer safety, too. You don't want to walk
Absolutely.
Up on him. He's already in combat mode. He's already focusing in on his situation. Right now, anybody coming near him is also, I would look at it, anybody approaching me while I'm engaged is also an aggressor. I have to look at that situation because it's my life on the line. Okay, so I have to treat each situation just like that. But if you make your presence known that you're there to help and you're adamant about it, I will think very quickly on my feet whether or not I need you to come in and assist or not. Or I might yell out to you what to do. Call 911, get a dispatcher on the phone. I'll instruct you one way or another if I have the ability. Either way, I'll find a role for you. Even if it was just the fact that you were there and you witnessed everything and I've got it under control, I've got your eyes and ears, you heard and saw everything that went down. So now you can be an assistance to the police officer at that point because the arrest was effected. Now I've got a witness to the altercation.
Right, absolutely. Sorry. Tammy, did you find that story yet?
Well, I found the story, but I haven't found anything on the open season on cops being declared. And actually, if you search that on its own, you get all kinds of stuff from last year from other groups and people declaring war on cops. So
okay.
Around September, we had a lot of that. But I have not found anything specifically saying that this is a war on cops now or, a declaration. It was more about a traffic stop where an officer tried to remove a driver and they took off, dragging the officer with them, and the officer shot the driver in the head, but it was not fatal. And I actually saw that they have been released from the hospital I don't know as far as charges. I haven't found that, but
okay.
I don't know how that was, why it's written the way it is, unless people embrace that, you know, and that, you know, said something negative on it. I don't know. I haven't found anything like that, so I don't know why it's worded that way.
Okay. Yeah,
I did
that's
have,
the thing. If, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I do have a comment on what you all were talking about as far as officer safety, you know, more along the lines of before they ever get put in that situation. I know there's a lot of training that goes into being aware of your surroundings and what they can do. You know, obviously they park their car in front of their home. People know where they live. You know, you get a lot of that in smaller towns. But I can only tell from like a military perspective what we've been taught, you know, to be aware of your surroundings and who's around you and who's following you. And I do have kind of a funny story. I told you, Amanda, about this, where my husband was going through, he was changing jobs. He was working for this temporary employment service, and they had moved their office, and he had went to go find the office, and he pulled into a parking lot to do a U-turn, and there was a man in that parking lot that was getting ready to leave. Well, my husband couldn't find this place, and he U-turned a couple of times. He happened to U-turn at a shopping center where this man was again, and he was aware. He recognized the man. Well, as it turns out, the man recognized him, too, because he was FBI. And my husband got pulled over by the FBI and a tax or an IRS vehicle together because they thought he was following this guy when he was just trying to find this company. You know, and it went to show both of them were aware of each other. Once they saw each other again, you know, they thought, okay, something's up because I see this person again. And you got to be aware of that, you know, if somebody's going to show up at the same place you're at that you were, you know, if you just saw them at another location, watch for that person. And I know that all these officers have these training, you know, they get trained on this stuff anyway. But it is something that even us as civilians, the wives, you know, the families need to watch out for too and be aware. You know, keep an eye on who's around you and following you. And like David said, take a different way home if you need to. Or if you, you know, are uncomfortable, don't even go home, go somewhere else. You don't need to give away your location if, you know, you feel like somebody might be following you, you know, not even bother. Trust your gut on that one, you know, if you're uncomfortable. I mean, yes, sometimes conveniently somebody is going the same way or lives down the road or going, you know, nearby where you're at. But it's better to be safe than sorry on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wanted to point something else out.
Go ahead. Well, there,
when
it comes to vehicular safety, I'll tell you one thing from my own personal experiences. You actually are in more danger of somebody that's in front of you because you can't see what their hands are doing because you have seats blocking you, whatnot. You only have the view of the driver's head from the rear. If they're making erratic moves naturally, you can see, you might see hands, but 9 times out of 10, that's why traffic stops are the that's where officers lose their lives mostly, is in traffic stops. Traffic stops are the most dangerous situation an officer can put himself in because you don't know what the individual in the car in front of you is preparing to do. You actually are in a safer situation if they're behind you because, one, you have the ability, when you're looking in your rearview mirror, they can't see your eyes move, so you have a full frontal view of the individual. You can see their face in your rear view if they're close enough. You can see hand movements. You can see if they're reaching for something. You have the ability to be observant, where if you're behind them, you don't have that same ability because your view is restricted from what's in front of you, just, you know, blocking whatever between you and the driver, be it a seat, clothing, whatever they have piled up in a back window. You're pretty much, you're more in harm's way that way. With you being followed, like I said, changing directions. If you see somebody acting ridiculous in their vehicle because you're staring at them in your rear view, you have the ability to make some quick decisions to get yourself out of harm's way.
Okay. I want to, David, those are really good points, but I want to point at this before I forget. Tammy, we were talking about this post, and you said 33 officers shot, injured, basically attacked in any way, shape, or form, or killed and or killed in the line of duty up to February 13th. I'm sitting here glancing at this, and I see, and I know this to be fact, so I'm looking at these dates that I know of. February 5th, two New York officers wounded by gunfire. So the add one, so, you know, that's one post and it's two officers.
Some of them say,
there's another one.
Some of them say three, or some of them say two, I'm sorry. I did count
okay,
one
yeah.
that says two.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was going to add those to it. So, yeah, okay, so it's still 33. Whoops. But I was thinking that the number was significantly higher because there were three or four incidences where more than one officer were shot and most of them not killed, still recovering. But mm-hmm. that's a lot. That's a lot. Even 33 is a really big number.
We don't even know if we have them all. I mean, we're just going by this post.
Right.
A lot of these we are aware of. We heard of them. Like the officer in, I think it was San Francisco, that someone, like, cut his throat. We had, you
yeah.
know,
was
the
that
recent
on
ones,
there?
Of course, we know one. Mm-hmm.
That one was on the post?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that the correctional officer? Was that the correctional officer?
No, that one. I don't even know if that one's on there. Chuck had recently shared that mm-hmm. to our page with the correctional officer that someone had tried beheading, right?
Oh,
yes.
That was a... Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if that includes correctional officers on that list.
Right, and that's that was my another question I wanted to bring up was if you had seen that one on that post, because it's really hard to read and... actually, you know, go through it thoroughly while I'm on the radio. But, yeah, I was curious if that one was on there because that is another officer attack. He was a correctional officer who was attacked in the name of Allah, and they tried to behead the officer. The officer, I think, is going to survive. I know he survived the actual attack. I know that he made it out of the jail to the hospital, and I don't know if he's expected to recover. I would hope so. I don't know. I don't have any follow-up on that one.
I
wanted to bring something up.
I can check for you. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll check for you.
Okay. I wanted to bring something up that to me is very, very, very much a big deal, and it doesn't get addressed a lot. We've shared several posts in the group about putting blue lines on your cars, putting LESMA stickers on your cars, and every single time that we do, every single time, we'll have at least four or five people that are like, I'm an LEO wife, and I'm scared to make myself a target, or I'm a civilian, and I'm scared I'll be a target, I'm afraid someone's going to tear up my vehicle. That is something I just, our officers put on a uniform and wear a badge every day for barely any money. It's not like they're getting paid, you know, humongous salaries to do this. They are targets. They do it for us. And as civilians, I think that they should be willing to do the same, willing to do the same. I understand the fear. I understand the worry of being attacked. I get that, but they do it for us. And I think that the least that we can do is show support. The least that anyone can do is show their support and publicly show that support. Are you putting yourself in danger? It's a possibility, but are you putting yourself in danger by walking down the street? It all depends on who's around you. It all depends on what's going on. I mean, there are nutcases of every race, every age range. It just depends on who's around you. You're in danger if you step out of your house. You're in danger if you're sitting in your living room watching TV sometimes. It all depends on the people around you and what they are capable of and what they want to do. So showing your support for our officers, are you really putting yourself in more danger than you would be by not doing it? And weigh your pros and cons here. I would much rather the officers know that they have support 100% than worry about someone might see that and do something about it. Where someone might see that I have blonde hair and want to attack me in the same sense. You really don't know. So when you let fear dictate your life, you're not living. You're not living. So these people that are afraid, I think, really, really, really need to think about how they're letting that fear dictate their lives and what the result of not showing support as opposed to the result of showing support for officers would be, and which one has the greater outcome. And I believe that showing your support is more important than living in fear of what someone might do to you.
Yeah, you can't live your life like that, because then you'd be afraid to walk out your front door every day. I mean, anything can happen to you. I mean, who's to say? I mean, life is a 50-50 proposition. You're not guaranteed anything in life. You know, you could drop dead tomorrow, you know. So why not support your law enforcement? Let them know that you're out there. It's not going to hurt to let the law enforcement community know you're there. It's nobody's going to go out of their way to hurt you for that. I mean, if they're that mentally unstable to do that, they were going to do it either to you or somebody else, regardless if they had a little sticker in their window. It doesn't make a difference. Their intentions were set on hurting somebody, regardless of who you support. I mean,
right.
You can go down the street saying, I support, you know, the former President Bush, and somebody could get pissed off and get their panties in a twist on that. I mean, who's to say?
Amanda?
Yes.
That correctional officer, Terry Breedlove, he is not on the list, and he suffered a brain injury and injuries to two vertebrae.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so I remember I did get a little bit of an update. They don't know if they didn't know if he was going to be able to walk again. I remember.
Mm.
Now that was, you know, a week ago since I had heard that update, but now that I think about it, I did remember, and he's got head trauma.
Yeah, and he is not on that list. So, you know, we have to consider those that are not even on this list as well. I mean, that's 34 now. And because our correctional officers that have been attacked are not on this list. You know, you've got, well, I don't know who all they've just got there. Police officers on this list, and I don't know if they have other, if it's scoped out beyond police, you know.
Right. So again, it is almost impossible to keep track of all of this that's been going on in the last week. It's scary, and this person put together a very thorough list and even still missed that one. Whether it was intentional or not, I do not know. But if the possibility is there that they missed one,
you won. There are sheriffs on there as well. But, yes, it is hard. I mean, you have to go through and, you know, consider all these other positions as well. You know, they are officers as well, and we need to recognize them as well. And I think it's going to be hard to, you know, get through that on that list, you know, see
yeah.
who's missing. And but it is a long list either way. It's too long. It's way too long.
Yeah.
And those are just the attacks, not just people that have been injured. They've been attacked. They've been shot. They've been stabbed. The other one, you know, was struck by a vehicle. But these are all attacks. These aren't just they died in a car accident or something. You know, this is just the ones that we have lost due to attacks. It's just too many. It's too many. I couldn't read through every single one of them. You know, these are people with families and, you know, it's just hard to imagine, you know, and a lot of these that are recovering, they won't be 100% again, you know, they won't be back to where they were.
Right. So someone just asked about Officer Couch, which is the one that was shot in Clarksdale this weekend, and I pulled up an article just to actually give them a link of reference to read. And it says, I didn't realize this, but the officer was shot point blank in the face.
Mm-hmm.
They do have their questioning two suspects. He's in critical condition. He's on a ventilator, has lost one eye, and the bullet remains lodged in his brain. So that's the actual full update that we have. And it's sad when you think about these men are, like you said, their lives, if he survives this, their lives are affected forever. Forever. And that's a human being. A lot of times, and I focus on this a lot, and I say this a lot, but a lot of times we see these news stories, and it's like you're watching a movie on television. The reality isn't there. Let me tell you, we had an officer-involved shooting here a few months ago, and when that news broke or was broken to me, when someone brought it to my attention, I believe it was you, David, that brought it to my attention, my
yeah.
heart stopped. We deal with seeing officer-involved shootings and officers killed and officers injured often. And right down the street from me, not too long ago, there was reports, there was a hostage situation literally like 2.5 blocks from me. And my husband came home and he said, shots fired at an officer. And when it's close to home, it really hits differently. It's really the effect of, you're really like, oh my God, this is really happening. And I get that with all of the stories that we share. I realize that these are real stories. It's not a movie that we're watching, but I think that most of society has a hard time separating that and realizing this really happened. There's really a man in the hospital right now with a bullet lodged in his brain from being shot point blank in the face. And he has family members that are truly suffering, and he has blue family that is suffering and struggling through this. It's not a movie, guys. That list is so long, and it's very, it's disheartening, it's disgusting, it's a roller coaster of emotions.
The problem we have with society, you really feel it when it hits in your own backyard. Then you start to open your eyes and, you know, say, wow, was I really surrounded by these individuals this whole time? You know, and it makes you open your eyes and look at life in a different manner. But, you know, like you said, you view this story from another state and you're saying, wow, I feel sorry for them. But then you turn the channel and these people are just like, well, life goes on, blah, 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 blah. You know, who gives a shit? You know, it'll be yesterday's news. You know, that's the way society looks at it. And that's the wrong way to look at it. Don't wait for it to happen in your own backyard to pay attention to what's going on. Come on, people. We are surrounded by a lot of Looney Tune individuals, okay? They're out there. They have their own agenda, and they don't care who they hurt, you know, whether you're in uniform or not. Be
right.
careful with who you deal with. Be conscious. Get to know who your neighbors are. Know who you're surrounded by.
Right. Absolutely. And be alert. Be aware of your... Go ahead.
I was just going to say that officer is a father of five and a pastor of a church as well.
The Clarksdale officer or the correctional officer?
Derek Couch.
Wow.
The one that was shot in the face.
That's so tragic.
Yes.
Yeah, let's also remember that, folks. You know, our men and women that are out there doing this job, they have families that, you know, that they want to go home to. They have wives, they have girlfriends, they have husbands, they have sons, daughters. I mean, they have the whole gamut just like you. Let's appreciate the fact of the thing that they're willing to put their family aside to protect you, okay? So understand this. When you go out in society, maybe take one, it only takes you a second. Okay, and I did this the other day. I was coming out of our local supermarket. I seen a lone state trooper just sitting down in the parking lot all by himself. Take a second and go up to him and introduce yourself and just tell him thank you. You know, that is so much appreciated. And I don't care who, I don't care if you see a corrections officer inside a convenience store, thank him too. Do you realize the danger
Absolutely.
He put? You know, people don't realize what they have in front of them until it's no longer there. I took that only took a second to start my car. I went window to window, and sure, he's a little bit apprehensive. You see somebody just rolling up on you. But I made sure my hands were in full view. He rolled down his window. We had a nice little conversation. I thanked him. And, hey, you have a nice day. I'm going about my business, and stay safe. That's all you have to do. It means a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, we're in overtime, and I could sit and continue this conversation all day. I really, really could. But we are in overtime, so we have, you know, we have radio pretty much every day. So I'll let everybody go, and we'll continue this another day.
Right.
Sound good?
All right.
Yes,
well,
you what, Tammy?
Hopefully more positive next time.
Yes.
No.
So really quick, if anybody listens, I would love, love, love if you guys are an officer or you have, you know someone who is an officer who has either a really funny story to tell, something that, you know, David, you probably have some really good stuff for us. We want to do a show or two on stories, you know, funny. Let's try to get on some positive ones if we can. Maybe some lives that you've saved or some lives that you've changed. But let's try to find some positive stuff for our radio show. We can do the sad stories and the heartbreaking stories too one day, but I would like to do
they
the positive.
Message them privately if they don't want to call and speak for themselves.
Yes,
you
if
know.
An officer wants to share their story, if you guys know anybody, they can email me at amanda@lesma.org. It's in the page. Tammy has a post up. If you'll look for it, chime in, keep that post bumped so that other people can see it with her. She doesn't post very often, so her posts don't show up a lot to a whole lot of people. The more interaction we have, even if it's just a couple of people having a conversation on it, the more it'll show to other people. So if you guys can help with that, and if you have officers who want to share a story, even anonymously, they can just email it and I can read it on the air, or if they just want to call in, they're more than welcome, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, let's try to get something like that in sometime this week. That would be awesome. But, all right, guys, I'm going to sign off so that we can, you know, get this over with. And I will talk to you guys probably tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Right, thank you.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Thank you, guys. You too. Bye-bye.